Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast. All right. This is Middle Screen making this point. Middle Screen texting in. Coach Middle Screen, loyal listener. The weather's so bad where he is. He's at home today, so he can listen to all 4 hours.
Oh, yeah, because he's a teacher.
Yep. He says that and I'm assuming he's talking about Mixon alluding to fireworks, that Nick has something cooking, is what the word he used. He said that could be just a vote of confidence for Nick, not a specific thing. I would agree, except where he said, I know for a fact.
A fact.
I know for a fact that Nick has something cooking. Like, that implies to me, that implies specificity to me.
All right, now, we're going to have to, everything you get is Lopez's opinion on this.
Oh, yes.
Lopez sometimes will state his opinion as a fact.
Yes.
And it's not that he's trying to be misleading intentionally or anything. It's that I feel like he believes so strongly in his opinion that he's stating it as a fact.
Okay, got that.
So we'll have to get, Lopez is a connoisseur of using that as a term. We'll see.
I just wrote down toss Lopez on mix and cut. So we'll play it for Lopez and get his take on it. All right, you ready to get petty, my friend, on the petty cast?
Yes, I'm ready to stay petty.
All right, so let's...
You don't have to get petty if you stay petty, Sean.
Exactly, the old saying.
Yes.
All right, this is one a little off the grid, but I would imagine a lot of pettiness in Washington over this after the way that Detroit game went in the divisional round. I mean, Washington was... Like, if you didn't know anything about either of those teams' regular seasons and you watched that game, you'd be like, yeah... Wow, Washington is just this is a much better football team than the Lions are grab bagging here. They're the team that's flinching. They're trying to run trick plays and whatnot.
Yeah.
Washington is just, Jaden Danielsing the hell out of them. Neil Rule is the name of a media member up in Detroit, and it looks like he has a streaming show called Big D Energy.
Oh, okay.
The Lions show.
Yeah.
It's a really good show name. It's a great logo. It's a really nice studio. However, this is a really bad prediction that he had on how that game would go. This is early in the week leading up to the divisional round.
You want Detroit, then you got Detroit.
Yep.
And Commanders fans, Detroit's got you and your third worst rushing defense in the NFL and your rookie quarterback and just an insane environment Saturday night where we got all day to get right, if you know what I mean. You have no concept of what you're walking into. None whatsoever. We are 60 minutes away from hosting an NFC championship game. And if you thought that I was going to roll in here today and just be calm about that and say, let it play out and stuff like that, I will not. And this, we can just record and run back tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday. And then Friday, I'll be even more extra about it. We are 60 minutes away from hosting the NFC championship game here in Detroit to go to the Super Bowl. We are 60 minutes from... You think that you're going to walk in here and stop that from happening?
Stand on business,
you?
Neil. Stand on business.
And your awful defense and your rookie quarterback? You think you're going to stop that? Ain't no way.
This is honestly, this is a hard one to be petty about. That was pretty damn good, man.
It was a good promo. He cut a good promo, but the people in Washington are basically like sending that back to him on Twitter all week.
How do I be petty about this? Oh, that was good. That was really good. I like that. I think this, though, this is where it's pathetic and awful and weak. It's that Detroit's trying to act like something that they haven't yet proven that they are.
Correct.
It's that, man, listen, you don't go from being the beleaguered, you know, just a worthless sibling of the bunch to all of a sudden being the big dog without having proven it first. Yes. And I think there's a level of cockiness there that, if listen, nobody's buying it, man. You're Detroit still. You're Detroit until you're not. And they're in this, they've learned about, is it the wealth effect? I think this would be like the wealth effect, where it doesn't matter like how high you keep getting more and more money, and you think like, oh, I'll appreciate it. Of course, I remember what it was like when I was poor. Like, no, you keep wanting more, and you spend more, and then you gotta have that. That's where they are right now. Is they're realizing like, oh, okay, boy, we have all these nice things, but we're still not there.
Right.
We're not actually the big dogs, and it's got to drive them insane that they're right on the precipice of it.
Yeah.
They're like the Andy Reid's Eagles teams back in the day.
Yep.
Right now you're kind of an afterthought in terms of being taken seriously until you prove that you can get over that hump. And part of the problem with Detroit right now is that I would imagine most Lions fans are probably getting increasingly frustrated with Jared Goff because he just does not show up in these big-time moments.
Well, stop chanting his name everywhere you go, that whole
thing. Yeah, he's not the guy.
Mm-mm.
He's not the guy. He wilts in the moment. And I think that you can't be that cocky when it is still ultimately the guy who Sean McVay said, you know what? You know what you really need is a guy like Matt Stafford. But who would ever relinquish a guy like Matt Stafford?
The Lions.
Wait, everybody. Yeah. Oh, it's you, Detroit. Yeah. Yeah. The wannabe big dogs. You got rid of the guy who can actually perform in big moments.
This gets very interesting. Detroit gets very interesting with these two coordinators going out the door. You know, with Ben losing, especially Ben Johnson and the job he's done to at least get Jared Goff regular season elite. You know, but the playoffs are a different story. Good job, man. I knew you could do it. I knew you could get
petty. Did I turn petty?
Yes, I knew you could
reclaim my pettiness?
Yes, I knew you had it in you. All right, Mick Cronin. Who knew that the UCLA head basketball coach would show up?
I hate this guy already.
For the second week in a row. I hate him, too. So last week, he was rambling on and on about how he's the only one that brings any energy to practice.
He's the only guy who's worth a damn, basically, right? On his entire team. He's the only guy that works hard and all that.
Yeah, reminds us that he's won 500 games, and he doesn't even really need to do this at age 53 if he doesn't want to.
That's how good he is.
Listen to this. He gets asked a question about the dynamics. UCLA in the Big Ten now is having to travel east a lot to play basketball games. So he was asked by a reporter, I don't think an entirely stupid question. You know, you get all these press conferences throughout the year. You got to come up with different questions. This reporter, take a listen, just asks about, hey, is there an effect of the East teams traveling to the West? And listen to Cronin get his panties in a while.
So much has been made about you guys going East. You just came back from a prolonged East Coast trip. I'm wondering, have you seen anything from the teams that have to come out here and stay out here? Is there any kind of balance with that in terms of the wear and tear and just what you've seen on the court?
Wear and tear on them?
Yeah.
Is that a joke? Please tell me that's a joke.
Is it even comparable, is essentially what I'm trying to say.
Have you ever looked at the NBA stats and what the gamblers and all those people do on West versus East? Talk to Eric Musselman, ask him that question, who coached in the NBA. Good luck, West going East. Okay, and ask me UCLA's record east of the Mississippi in the last 20 years. Because when I got the job, I looked it up for scheduling purposes. It's under 500, okay? We have to go back four times. Oh, the Big Ten teams get to come to Los Angeles where it's 70 degrees one time a year. They don't even have to switch hotels. We're 12 miles apart. Are you kidding me? Please tell me you're kidding me. Is this a plant? Is this a planted question? I mean, you cannot be serious with that. And meanwhile, we've seen the Eiffel Tower, or we've seen the Statue of Liberty twice in the last 3 weeks. while we were landing. We also saw downtown. We also saw the Capitol building. I mean, you kidding me? I mean, you can't possibly. And we still got to go back. And then we got to go back for the Big Ten tournament. Right. Or you, I mean, you can't possibly be serious.
Well, that's the thing. You have four more trips of those to make.
Yeah. They do it one time. You can't possibly stop. I'm going to eat, man. You can't. I mean, he's asked me to feel sorry because Iowa had to come to L.A. for a few days.
No, he's asking you a question.
He's asking you a question that you could answer.
This guy's such a jackass.
I hate him so much.
Oh, I hate him too. I hate him too. Wormy little bald-headed nerd.
He's so impressed with himself.
Oh, my God.
There are a lot of coaches that are very successful coaches who basically don't personally embody any of the things that they would request or demand of their players, which
he's
is that
one of them.
They're very effective whiners. They whine and whine and whine, and it's an effective strategy if you do it with enough bass in your voice. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does. Which also, going back to last week's rant, where he's like, "What do I have to prove? What do I have to prove? I've got a bunch of wins." Like, all right, yeah, in the regular season, I mean, you're 500 in the postseason in your career.
Yeah,
he's made it to the how many times has he made it to the Final Four? Once.
Once
he made it to the Final Four once. Like, he was like, okay, I would think that for me, if I were a head basketball coach, I'd like to win a national championship at some point. Like, act like I still do have something to prove, and that what you don't try to paint yourself as like the noble benefactor who's even like, I don't even have to coach. It's just they're lucky to have me.
Yeah.
Dude, just save it, you selfish SOB. Yeah. You're like the rest of them. You want to win a championship.
Yep. He's bad.
He's a professional whiner.
He is.
He's no better than you and I.
Right.
That's what we do.
That's it.
I own it, at least.
That's it.
I'm a professional whiner.
Yeah.
I get on the radio and I get petty about stuff.
Yes.
You're trying to cloak yourself in nobility. Like you're just some kind of, like you're gracing the sport with your presence.
Mick Cronin. All right. Tom Brady. I don't know why Brady had to take this swipe at Dan Quinn and Arthur Blank, but while doing the NFC divisional round game on Saturday night, he made a reference to Dan Quinn. I guess the owner, Josh Harris, had come down to the sidelines towards the end of that game, the owner of the Commanders. And we all remember it happened right here over at NRG Stadium, Arthur Blank coming down to the sidelines during that comeback from the Patriots from 28-3 in the Super Bowl. Here was Tom Brady during the telecast of the Lions-Commanders game on Saturday.
7, down by 14.
I'm not sure Coach Quinn likes owners coming down on the field before the game's over.
Yeah. Pretty good.
You know what? Brady made another comment in that game about they had referenced his partner there, Kevin, what's his face?
Burkhart.
Had referenced the A.J. Brown reading a book on the sidelines last week or a couple weeks ago. And Brady said he'd never seen that. He's seen a quarterback eat a hot dog on the sideline. Just a shot at Sanchez out of nowhere.
Yeah. Brady's got, I think to be at that level, you got to have a level of pettiness to you.
Brady
right?
has a good level of pettiness, like a competitive pettiness to him.
Yeah.
The whole, my feeling about coaches and quarterbacks. I don't want them to be mentally healthy or have perspective in life. You gotta have a little psycho to you, like Michael Jordan and Tom Brady. Like those dudes have a certain almost mental illness about them that drives them, that might drive others like completely useless, but it makes them great. I feel like I think Brady's got a pettiness to him that he uses to his advantage.
Would you like?
He probably, as he says that, it might just be a little innocent offhand comment.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a part of that it was still like, oh, this is supposed to be the young hot guy in the AFC East at one point.
Right.
I remember him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember what we did. Yeah.
Yep. Do you think CJ should be a little more unbalanced? Is he a little too balanced, do you think?
No. I think he's a guy that, he would have a tendency towards an unhealthy obsession. His battle is just dialing it back enough that it's passion and not obsession. And, I'm speaking kind of loosely about Jordan and Brady, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Brady's that same way. He's got to learn how to tamp it down a little bit, but that's what drives him. With CJ, I think he's got an obsessive personality,
mm-hmm.
and for him the challenge is like, all right, just keep it reined in enough that I can still roll with the punches and come back from the losses and everything. It's a good problem to have.
Yep.
It's a constant battle for just remaining. You want to be just over the edge of mentally healthy. You know, like, you don't want to be totally well-adjusted, but you just want to be just over the edge.
Mind straddler.
Crazyville.
Yeah. Yes.
You want to flirt with Crazyville.
Flirt with Crazyville. I like it.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of that, Rob Gronkowski, he's flirted with Crazyville many a time, I would say. We're playing this one because Rob Gronkowski, I think, shares a sentiment that Payne and Pendergast do, particularly Payne. He hates the Indianapolis Colts almost as much as Seth does.
I just dislike the Jets. You know, I don't really have a hatred for the Jets. It's just our rival in our division. But and it was at the beginning of my career. But yes, the Colts, let me tell you, I do not like the Colts. I was just on Julian's podcast, Names of Games, actually. And we absolutely just dismantled the Colts. We ripped them apart. They were hanging banners for winning a division. They were always a little cocky, always talk garbage when they played us. We just romped them week in and week out every time we played them, especially in the playoffs. I don't like the Colts. I always loved, you know, running up the score versus them. We dominated them in the pass game and in the run game as well. And we were dominating them so bad that they came up with that Deflategate BS because they needed an excuse why we were absolutely terrorizing them.
Yeah, that part too, especially, is that the Colts were a finesse team, whereas the Patriots were still very much a bash you in the face, blue collar type of team. And I always enjoyed watching the Patriots when they'd line up with 6 offensive linemen and just run for 290 yards versus the Colts. I enjoyed when Teddy Bruschi said, he basically paraphrased Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men and said something about getting the Colts don't like to get their pretty white uniforms dirty.
Yeah.
I loved and relished all of that. But then, yes, especially the Colts planting the Deflategate theory into somebody's brain and trying to complain and whine about that was a classic team that couldn't get it done, trying to find some way to get it done not on the football field.
Yes.
So I fully endorse Gronk's hatred for the Colts.
Do you?
It was pathetic the way the Colts behaved when they couldn't beat the Patriots.
Do you remember the score of the game, the AFC title game, that where the Deflategate accusations stemmed from?
No, it was a bludgeoning, right? And they barely passed the ball, right? What was the score?
I'm trying. Pro Football Reference is stuck right now. I believe it was 45-7, if I'm not mistaken.
And I think that was one of the games where the Patriots lined up with six offensive linemen a boatload of times.
Probably, yeah. Like,
they just completely physically destroyed the Colts. And then that stupid old inaudible, indecipherable owner of theirs just decided that, like, no, there's got to be some other reason. It can't possibly be that my guys are punks. Yeah.
45-7. The Patriots beat the Colts that day.
How many yards did they rush for?
The Patriots? Yeah. Let's see here. Patriots rushing. Oh, my God. LeGarrette Blount had 30 carries for 148 yards.
Yeah.
With a long of 22, so there wasn't like a 70-yarder in there. Like,
it was just a constant procession. What were the team stats on the rushing?
On the rushing, they only really gave the ball to LeGarrette Blount. Jonas Gray had 4 carries for 4 yards. Shane Vereen, yeah, 1 carry for 2 yards. The running backs had 35 carries for 154 yards in that game.
Yeah.
So they, yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, Brady still.
Well, they did it with deflated footballs, Sean. As everybody knows, you can run the ball well when you got deflated footballs.
Brady did throw the ball 35 times in that game, but I'm not trying to validate their Deflategate thing. I was totally stupid. Poor Andrew Luck in that game, 12 of 33 for 126 yards and 2 interceptions. That might have been one of the worst games of Andrew Luck's career.
Well, Andrew Luck's record outside, and that was in New England?
It was in New England, yeah.
Of course it was, yeah, because of the weather conditions and the balls. Luck, that was the other thing about the Colts, was they were the epitome of a great offense that just sucked in the elements. Like, they were very much a pretty team. And even to the two quarterbacks, I always respected Tom Brady more as a quarterback, even when people were just somehow idiotically thinking that Peyton Manning was a better quarterback. Like, Brady would make the football player plays. Tom Brady was more of a football player than Peyton Manning.
Yes.
Peyton Manning was a great quarterback, but Tom Brady was a great football
player. That's a great way to put it. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you.
God, I hate the Colts.
Up next, I know, I'm glad I slipped that into the petty cast. That got you fired up. I like that. All right, Texans, beware the Texans' year 3 curse. What is the year 3 curse? I will tell you exactly what it is. And how avoidable is it for next year's Houston Texans coming up next?
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.